My name is Chris Q, and I am the leader of this workshop. The workshop, I welcome you to New Freedoms, New Responsibilities. And they ask that we open our workshops with the Serenity Prayer, so let's pray again. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if you could make that light stop blinking, that would be just great. Oh, those disco days. Okay. We have a few things that need to be announced. One is our anonymity statement. Anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing Press Broadcast Media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized photos be taken. This session is being taped and will not be edited. To be anonymous, you should use a fictitious name. If you come to the microphone to speak at any time during the weekend workshops, in a session that's been recorded, make sure you have signed the release form at the registration table. Two Hatters, OA members affiliated with a related facility or other anonymous programs, are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member and at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise. Thank you. And then we have our crosstalk statement. Feedback, crosstalk, advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who've already shared. Speaking directly to other persons rather than to the group, questioning or interrupting the speaker or sharing that's going on at the time. As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any other compulsive overeaters here besides myself? Great. Freedom. New freedom, new responsibilities. When I saw that topic, I asked myself, would I go to that workshop? And if so, you know, what would I think it was going to be about? The promises say we'll have a new freedom and a new happiness. But happiness to me when I was growing up was happily ever after. You know, preferably he was Prince Charming and he had a horse and a castle and he had lots of money. And, you know, that's a great promise, but when you're already grown, and it might be an unrealistic promise. I always wanted to be normal, you know. I always wanted to have a purpose. I always wanted to feel useful, be part of something, be included, fit in. So new freedom, what would freedom look like for me? So I'm better at telling stories of a sort. So one day in 1971, I, at the end of a diet, not the diet, but a diet, as usual, I was in a dress shop in Watertown, South Dakota, at the big end of the rack of clothes, but I had dieted enough that I thought, I hoped, please, 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 could I buy something out of a regular store and would it fit and wouldn't that be cool? And I was probably 160 or 70 then, yeah, pounds. So, oh, my top weight's 205. I reached that when I was 11 years old. My abstinent date is November 13th, 1977. So this woman walks in and she's got hair that's about like mine now, but no bangs. And she's about my size I am now. And she like breezes in. And the shop owner says, oh, I just got this cute new dress in and I was just thinking about you. Come on back and try it on. Oh, goody. And she does. And I thought, wow, what would it be like to be like that? You know, to have somebody get a size 8 dress in and know it's going to fit her and save it for me. You know, what would it be like to have that freedom to just breeze into a shop and know that something's going to fit and to have your choice of 30 different dresses or whatever, you know, and to travel light, you know, to not need a big purse full of hard candy. What would it be like? And to me, that looked like what I'd wanted my whole life. You know, if I could just have that, that would be the freedom I've always wanted, to come and go and fit in and not stand out. And well, other freedoms. I wanted to travel light. I grew up fat. I didn't travel light. I grew up fat, and I weighed 205 pounds by the time I was 11. Now I weigh 125 pounds. So that's about 80 pounds. If you sent me to the store for, what, 16 five-pound bags of sugar, you better believe I'd take a shopping cart to that aisle. But I carried that around with me all the time, every day, no matter what I was doing. And then no wonder I was unhappy. No wonder I couldn't really ride my bike very well. No wonder I didn't get picked for sports. No wonder I didn't have good balance. There was just too much of me. And it made me very sad that I couldn't buy clothes in a real store. Well, Lane Bryant's a real store, but the Chubby Hat department's in the basement, and you got to go 200 miles to Minneapolis to get there. So it's not like, I need a dress tomorrow, Mom. Like my kids could say, oh, I forgot, I told you we need costumes for school tomorrow. Well, you can throw something together. You can go to the Halloween store, but not for me. I could be a ghost, you know, sheeps. But there was no freedom like that. If I fell in a mud puddle, I couldn't get clothes from the lost and found at school. You know, if everyone needed their Girl Scout uniforms tomorrow, I had to special order. There's a limitation to a person's life when we grow up like that. And when I was real little, of course, I didn't fit in kiddie desks and stuff like that. So it was really very obvious to me that I didn't fit. I couldn't borrow clothes from my girlfriends, you know? I couldn't necessarily go away someplace like camp. I mean, can you bring a bag of donuts with you to camp? You know, I couldn't be without my sweets. My dad died when I was 7. My way of coping with it was to sit in front of the TV with a bag of cookies or bakery goods or whatever and watch cartoons. And that's how I coped with childhood depression, which was undiagnosed in 1957. And if it had been diagnosed, there was no help in a town the size of this room. And that's about what my town was like. So I just got fat. I'm a chewer. I chew when I'm uncomfortable. I chewed my fingernails, I chew pencils, I chew pens, I chew the bows of my glasses. I'm a chewer. I'm like a little gerbil that runs in a cage. I feel uncomfortable and I start chewing. And if it's food, did I mention the family business? It was a bakery. I ate a lot of very high fat, high sugar, high calorie food. And that's how I got fat. I didn't get fat because I was unlucky. I didn't get fat because I, for any reason, other than the fact that I ate too much. And I was always looking for another reason. Everybody was looking for another reason. And the real reasons we weren't looking at. That's the elephant in the living room. The real reason. Childhood depression. Alcoholism runs in the family. My father died of alcoholism. That kind of stuff we might look at today. But back then, nobody looked at the real reasons. They looked at how could she, we get her to eat less. And I couldn't stop if I started. So I ate too much, and that made me overweight, obese. And I ate too much sugar, which gave me a chemical dependency upon sugar, which is a drug in my book. And so if I start with the sugar, I may stop, I may not. It's like an alcoholic with a drink. I don't get to call that shot. The only thing I have any power over at all because of this program is the first bite. Once the first bite is in the system takes over. And then it's really true. I am really powerless over what's going to go flowing through my body and my brain and what it may lead to. So I don't do sugar. I don't do that at all. So OA found me 5 years after I saw that woman breeze in and breeze out of that store, and several diets later. And I was in Washington, D.C., I'd lost all the weight because we were in graduate school and dirt poor, really. We couldn't afford all the kind of food that I would want to eat anyway. And the pseudo oil crisis of the 70s was on and gas was probably a high price, so we parked the car and I started walking, which actually helped me too. And then I started gaining the weight back. I lost the weight and I was a normal size. For the first time in my life, I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how normal people acted. I thought maybe I would just instinctively know how to get along in crowds, how to fit in, you know. You lose the weight, you're supposed to just like know how to act according to what that new person looks like, but I didn't. And with the personality that I had is that I also developed this personality where I made fun of myself a lot, because if you're going to make fun of me anyway for being fat, I'll make fun of myself first. So I had that kind of, we can see it a mile away once we're in the program, that personality. The uneasy person who's outwardly joking and boisterous and, you know, it's a nervous cover-up for me. And I had that personality. I was also very negative, and I didn't have a lot of trust in anything. And so I was gaining the weight back, and I went and got my hair cut. The long hippie hair to this, and thought, well, that will pick my spirits up. And this woman said, you have nice hair. This woman was cutting my hair. You have nice hair. And I told her my whole story. All the way back to dad dieting and eating too much donuts and on and on and all the diets. And God bless hair salon people, you know? I mean, it's better than bartender, right? And she was in Overeaters Anonymous, as it turns out. But all she said publicly was, I'm in a group that I think you might find very helpful. And she gave me her card, and her professional card. And, you know, that's what she had there, and said, you know, give me a call sometime. So 6 months later, I gave her a call, and she told me where there was a meeting. And I say OA found me, because I didn't know about OA. I'd never been in a diet club. And the only one I had called just a few months before that needed money, and we didn't have money. We were in graduate school. So I called this woman, and she told me where there was a meeting. Now, I thought it was, didn't know what it was. I assumed it was some kind of weirdo cult. So I didn't know I was an alcoholic yet. So I hadn't been to any 12-step groups. And I showed up, no driver's license, no money, nothing. You're not going to get a thing off me to find out who I am and, you know, find me. And what this woman said was just amazing, because she said what I had thought all along, and everybody, including myself, had told me was not true, that it's a disease. And it's really true that if you start, you can't stop. But then she said something like, and you never have to do it again, ever. Ever, done, finished, it's over. Once you're abstinent, you'll never have a weight problem again. You may still have 100 pounds to lose or 30 pounds to gain, but it's not a problem anymore, because it's being taken care of while you do some other things. And I remember the first time I heard the promises, I thought, wow. And then OA came out with its own literature, of course, and that included the ifs. And that's where I think freedom, new responsibility. Because I get freedom through surrender. The freedom I have today is the freedom my 2-year-old had when I fenced the backyard. Until then, she couldn't go out to play by herself. She wasn't safe. Once we fenced that little backyard, she could toddle on out the kitchen door. And for the most part, she'd play in sandbox, you know, all the kids grew up being able to play in the backyard because they were safe. And to me, that's what this program is. It's my safety. And I have freedom through surrender. In trade for giving up my way, which is really hard sometimes, because that's what it's usually about. It's not usually about broccoli or green beans. It's about my way. In trade for giving up my way, I get a life that I never could have imagined. I can come and go. People look at me on the street and they don't do a double take. I look normal. I mean, they might look at the wrinkles 3 times because there are a lot of them for my age. But other than that, I look normal. I can buy clothes now. There's a responsibility that comes with that. just because I can now buy 30 dresses in a store, it's not financially responsible for me to do that. Okay? Just because I can do something doesn't mean that I should always do something. Just because now I dare speak up for myself doesn't mean it's always appropriate. Just because I'm no longer afraid of stuff doesn't mean I should try everything. And so I look at freedom also as a freedom to choose to do, not to do everything that I'm now free to do. Sanity. So freedom comes through the steps. I handed out that little sheet because it was came out of the Voices of Recovery, and I thought it was really neat that that woman, or reader, I don't know who was the writer, had put, okay, so somebody give me a high, tell them, cut me off, rip me off here in 5 minutes. With every step, she had listed a freedom. And so I was looking at that and thinking, so what would be a responsibility that goes with that freedom? Because this topic was responsible. I remember the sanity talk I had with God when I was washing the dishes and crashing and banging pans and stuff one night. And the voice was, you know, your problem was step two. No, what? You don't want to be sane. Why would I not want to be sane? Because sane means that you have to act like a grown-up. You know, grown-ups wash their dishes because they're dirty. You're washing your dishes so your husband will realize he's not helping you, and you poor thing out in the kitchen working so hard all by yourself deserve some appreciation. That's not how grown-ups do it. Dang. You know, I wanted a normal weight, the freedom to come and go and buy clothes in a normal store. Well, guess what? I have to have a food plan. And I have to follow it. And I also recommend an eating plan and an escape plan for those times when we're at somebody else's house. And that's my job. I mean, I could go to a meeting a day, but that's only one out of every 24 hours. I'm on the street with God and the big book and whatever I've internalized of this program the rest of the time. I want to get along with other people. Steps 4 through 9. That old personality of mine did not get along with people very well. And wouldn't you know, all the defects get played out in relationships. I found out that when I'm afraid, I act angry. So then people react to an angry person, and I'm sitting there afraid going, you don't understand me, you don't understand me. Well, they only knew what they saw. Our children don't remember what we say. They remember how we make them feel or what they see. 4 through 9. 10, no regrets, sleep at night. But what's the responsibility? Well, to do it, to say I'm sorry, to say I don't know, to do whatever. 11, it's spiritual sit-ups. You know, somebody in the program early on said, do not wait until you're in a bind to learn to pray, because that's no time. You know, it's like learning to change the tire on your car when in your own driveway when you don't need to know how to change the tire in your car, because when the time comes, you aren't going to have time to learn. So 11, we do it. My sponsor said, just in case God's going to get in touch with you. What if God said he was going to call you someday this week at 4? Wouldn't you at least leave the phone on the hook? And I thought, well, yeah. She said, okay, well, that's meditation. That's what you're going to do. And 12, help others. Normal isn't happily ever after. Normal is just the life that I was going to have anyway, minus a lot of the problems that my former personality and size would have caused me. And that's a whole lot better. I didn't come here to get happy. I didn't know that was what it was about. I didn't come here to get free. I came here to get thin or stay thin. That's all I thought it was about. That's all I asked for. So obviously I've got more than I asked for. But be careful what you ask for, you know, because almost anything is possible here. And with every freedom I've gotten comes a responsibility. You know, you hear about this program, Christine, you got the responsibility to pass it on. You can't keep what you don't give away. And so I'm sure everybody's got way cooler ideas about responsibilities that come with these freedoms than I do, and I would love to hear about that. And so we're going to open up for sharing, and let's see. It's 10:05, so we've got 25 minutes for sharing. If you don't want anybody who listens to this to know who shared, then just make up a name. It's not really lying in this case because the guidelines said we could. And, well, you know how we get. You know how we get. Oh, I've got to be honest. And I don't know about you, but I've all made a few mistakes in that area about being, there's brutal honesty and then there's, you know, honesty, exercising the responsibility that comes with the freedom of being honest. So if I, usually we just kind of like line up if you want to share. And there are quite a few of us, so I don't know if we have a timer.
I can time.
Okay. Would that be okay? We time things in Boulder, but it's not that everybody is comfortable with that. But we could do like 3-minute shares or 20. It's 10:06 and we have till 10:30. So, three? Is three okay? And then when her phone does whatever it's going to do, of course, you could get to finish your sentence. Thank you all for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Ludmilla, and I am a compulsive overeater, very grateful to be here, and I just wanted to say I appreciated what the presenter said, I didn't get your name, about not wanting to be an adult, and the freedom and peace that comes from being able to ask my higher power for the willingness and get it, even though sometimes I'm like, please make me willing to be willing, but screw you, I don't want you to catch up with me because I know you'll do it. That's me talking to my higher power. That being a grown-up is what's freeing. And it's a whole different life from my inner drama with my don't wannas and my wanna-wanna-wannas. And thank you.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Linda Ray, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
And thank you so much for this list. That was wonderful. The two freedoms that hit me are freedom from dishonesty and freedom from isolation. And I always thought I was an honest person, but my sponsor just had me do a 4-step inventory on my relationship with a particular person that's very important in my life. And as I started doing the big book variety, making the list of resentments, I came up with 22 resentments, and I thought, wow, I thought I had a few, but I had no idea there were that many, and I've heard people say before that there are a lot of angry people in these rooms, and my anger was in the form of resentments. And freedom from dishonesty is that when I did the first column, which is who I'm resentful toward and what happened, and then I do the third column, how does it affect me, and then the fourth column is what's my part in it. And my part is where the dishonesty came out. I didn't want to admit that I had so much of a part in it. I saw myself being dishonest. I saw myself being selfish. I saw myself being fearful. And my feelings were mostly anger, but underneath the anger were all of these things that were really my part. My part was that I would get angry and I would go do some recreational spending instead of facing the issue. My part was I would get angry and always sing the hymns. That's what my sponsor says. Him did this, him did that, him did the other. And I had to stop singing those hymns and start looking at the hers. I love that too. It's not mine, it's hers. But anyway, so that was freedom from dishonesty, to have to look at that whole section on step 4, especially my part. I have to tell you, it was very, very painful. But then what happened was in step 5, I got the freedom from isolation when I gave those things to my sponsor. And my sponsor doesn't let me wiggle out. If she thinks I'm not telling her the whole truth, she says to me, okay, what is it that you decided not to tell me before we met today? And then I had to figure out what that was sometimes and then tell her. The freedom from isolation, this is what happened. A year ago, I would have told you my marriage was in serious trouble, that I was very depressed over it, and that I didn't have, after 47 years of marriage, a whole lot of hope for it changing. What I can tell you today, a year later, and it's taken this long for my sponsor and me to get through this fourth and fifth step, because I had a lot of stuff to dig up. What I can tell you is I no longer have to isolate with those feelings. I don't even feel those same feelings anymore. I can tell you I've cried, I've screamed, I've argued, I've been mad at God, furious at someone else, thank you, and very upset with myself. Today, I feel peace. In fact, I invited my husband to come with me on this retreat, this convention. He's having a ball out doing his thing. The last thing, freedom from isolation, has taught me that whatever's swirling around in my head is just stuck there. I need to talk to you about it, or to my sponsor, or to the person to my right or to my left, or to my pastor, but I've got to talk to someone about it. Because when it stays in here, I'm in trouble. When I let it out, I'm free. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marcia, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater bulimic. Really grateful to be here, and thank you, Chris, so much for sharing. It's interesting to put those freedoms in the perspective of the responsibility that comes with them. And I just had a situation where I was honest and ended up being very hurtful to someone, and I had no intention of being hurtful. And I'm so grateful because that person let me know that that had hurt them the way I had shared it. And it's interesting because what I had shared was what made sense to me and was meeting my needs. And I really had not, until she talked to me, realized the impact that would have on another person. And so I love that topic of, you know, with the freedom comes the responsibility. And it's kind of like the whole thing with group conscience, too. It's like we all get to express what we think, what we feel, what makes sense to us, and then we come together as a group to make a decision. And it may not be at all what I want, but it is my responsibility to be accepting of that decision that the group makes, even though it may be totally the opposite of the thing I want. So, you know, it's sort of like, and part of my disease has been not knowing what I want. I mean, just not knowing what I want. And in the past, going, oh, I don't care, it doesn't matter, whatever. And then I get in the situation and it's like, it really did matter. I really didn't want to do this particular thing, but I didn't know it at the time. Now that I more often, I still have that dilemma at times, but now when I know what I want, then it's back to that situation of, okay, how do I do that and take other people's feelings into consideration? So it's an interesting process because I'm kind of excited about that freedom of sometimes knowing what I want, but then how do I go about doing that in a way that works for the whole, I guess, is the bottom line. So I'm really grateful for the topic. Thanks.
Oh, there we go. Hi, I'm Helena, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm a big lady. I could be 110 pounds and I would still be big. I'm 6'1", and yeah, I've been big my entire life. I was never the short one in the class. I got kicked out of the kiddie pool when I was 6 because the lifeguard thought I was too old. And so, you know, for a long time I used that to say that my weight wasn't my problem. It was just that I was a big person. which is partly true, but there comes a point when it's not just about my height and my bone structure anymore. And I fought that for a really long time. Growing up sucked, and it still sucks, but, you know, I tried a lot of things. I tried to get my thyroid tested. Maybe I had a thyroid disorder. I don't. And, you know, I tried to say that it was because I was depressed, that maybe I'd put on a little weight because my metabolism wasn't working. You know, just things that were really, that were crap. And, you know, in this program, it's taught me to face the fact that this is me, that I have to take responsibility for this, but things can change and that we can have freedom from this. And you know, that the freedom from dishonesty, I mean, that's a part of growing up and a part of being an adult, but it's not something I've ever wanted to face. I think that I BS'd my way through a lot of my life, and finally I came into a room where people knew me and I couldn't lie to them. And that was really hard, because you guys looked at me and you're like, no, we know that story. Like, that's like, you know, stop. That's not true. We both know it's not true. And, you know, you guys helped me to grow up and to be an honest adult, and that, I don't know, that freedom is still uncomfortable. I don't know when it gets comfortable, but if it doesn't ever, I do know that it's still something that I want in my life. That freedom is still something that I treasure and I value, because I've seen the work that it, well, the things that it creates in other people's lives, and that, you know, what it creates in my life, and that I can do more with the things that my higher power has given me when I am an honest person, when I am free from obsession and free from loneliness, rather than when I am sitting in that hole of muck and obsession and loneliness. And I want to stay there. And so I'm really grateful. Thank you for speaking. I'm really grateful that all of you are here and that this exists. Thanks.
I'm Kara, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I just had to share something from this week. So step 9 is freedom from fear of people. And when I came into these rooms, I was terrified of everybody. And I wasn't going to do a step 9 because I wasn't going to get a step 9 back from them. So why should I do it first? And then, you know, and that was hard for me to be like, oh my gosh, I'm not perfect. I have to make amends to these people. And so step 9 was terrifying for me. And fear of people, you know, I'd rather just isolate than have you know who I really am. Because if you find out who I really am, you're just going to leave me anyway. So I'd rather just isolate in the first place. And so I started doing my step 9s, and nobody ran away from me, you know, and that was healing for me. And then this week, and I think that doing my step 9 allowed me to be able to do step 10, you know, because now I'm not so afraid anymore of having to make amends to people. And Wednesday, I made a pretty big mistake at work, and I didn't even realize that I had made it till I got home. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I was heading to the gym, and I kind of realized, oh my gosh, this is what happened. And no one said anything. Even now, like, no one still said anything, but I knew that I just sent an email saying, hey, this is what happened. Here's what I did. I'm so sorry. Like, you know, here's what's in place so that it won't happen again. I would have never done that before program. I would have either justified, well, she did this and he did that, and this is why I did this, or I would have just ignored it until it would have blown up in my face. And so because I was proactive about it, like, nothing's come up of it. And the next day I asked somebody, I was like, hey, like, did you eat that? And he's like, no, I'm allergic to that. And I was like, oh, well, at least one of us is responsible, you know. But at the same time, like, I'm just so grateful that I have recovery today and I have freedom today from these things. And it's not every day, but it's not all the time, but I can look back at least every day and find like one thing that I have freedom from today that I didn't before recovery. So I'm really grateful. Thanks.
I'm in the right room. I'm Wendy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm so glad I was in the room to hear your story. Growing up, that's my theme. I've been in the rooms 14 years, and I'm just starting to slightly grow up. You know, I'm just starting to. And, So that's huge for me. I loved hearing that. And I didn't even know this existed, freedom from. This is brilliant. So what do I want to say? I think I want to say that the promises are definitely coming true for me. Did I say my name? Awesome. Okay, so, you guys, I usually like talk a lot. Anyways, I'll just say that the promises are definitely coming true for me. I definitely have a life where I am living my wildest dreams, like big time. Like it's already happening. It's there. I'm in it. I'm currently doing a lot of fourth step work on money because I found out that I'm completely vague about money. And just as I was vague about the food. And so I'm just starting to grow up a little bit around money. And it's like fasten your seatbelts. It's a wild ride. I had no idea how dishonest I was with myself and others, but mainly about myself. And so that's a wild ride. It's just like, it's all about, we're going to grow up. And it is true that with boundaries come freedom. If I didn't have my food plan, I wouldn't have the freedom that I have every day, one day at a time. It's a boundary. It's the fence. If I have a food plan, I don't have to think about my food. I don't have to do this, and what about this, but it could have been this. I was joking, we were at a restaurant last night, menus can just, right? So I'll call the restaurant before, and I find out what's on the menu, and I make a decision then, so that when I show up, my disease doesn't have a lot of room to go, well, get this one, maybe I need a lot more. I'm like kind of I'm a very simple person, and I like a simple program. So that's what happens to me when I give my plan away. I get freedom, so much freedom. And if I'm not, my head is so loud, you guys. It wants, you know, whatever looks good in the moment. And as an overeater, that's just not a freeing experience. I do this program because I get relief, I get freedom, and I get serenity. That's why I do it. And when I'm not on my plan, I lose all of that really quickly. Is there anything else I want to say? I'm over. I'm done. Thank you. And it's just brilliant to be here. Thanks.
This came from Voices of, I'm Chris again, I'm compulsive overeater, and we are almost out of time. This came from Voices of Recovery. For those of you, I'm just tickled there's so many people in here. I made 20 some copies, and there weren't enough. Voices of Recovery, July 23rd. And it's page 205 if you have Voices of Recovery in your phone or your, you know, something electronic that's just with you, or if you carry the book with you, it's just copied straight out of there. And it was freedom from the obsession with food, step one. Two, freedom from insanity and hopelessness. Three, freedom from the bondage of self. Four, freedom from dishonesty. Five, freedom from isolation. Six, freedom from running the show. Seven, freedom from self-reliance. Eight, freedom from blame. 9, freedom from fear of people. 10, freedom from complacency. 11, freedom from loneliness. And 12, freedom from lack of purpose. We are at 10:26. We need to close with a serenity prayer. We have time for one more share if somebody has burning desire.
Chris, I have a question. You said something about the OA ifs.
Oh, the OA ifs. Okay, person in the audience, for those of you who are listening, asked about the OA ifs, and that's in our invitation from you. Can we guarantee you this recovery? If.
Yeah. The
answer is simple, if. You know, and I don't have it in front of me, but we could probably always cite quite a few of them. If you are willing, if. And I think it kind of gets glossed over sometimes because we're so used to hearing it, but it's, can we guarantee you this recovery? Yes, but if you are willing. And like I said, most of the time it's neither here nor there. What I'm arguing over, it's all about my will. I don't wanna. And once I get over the I don't wanna, I usually then can go on to do what is my sponsor suggested or the book suggested or something like that. The battle is always internal, usually. I've never been in an outright fight with a sponsor. Are there any burning desires? Or any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, so let's end with the Serenity Prayer. And I don't know if we can make a huge circle or not, but we could try. Okay, almost linked up. After a moment of silence, for those in and out of these rooms and for that person somewhere who's standing in front of the case at Starbucks and trying not to order one of those things, we'll end with a Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you all for asking me.